Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for tuning in to the Certain Ones Radio Show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, where we aspire to inspire. Visit The Certain Ones at www.blogtalkradio.com/TheCertainOnes. Are you ready? Let's go get it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host for the hour, Vanessa Richardson. As always, we have an awesome showcase. And as always, you know what to do. That's right. Go ahead and Facebook this. Go ahead and tweet this. Google Plus this. Call your girls on your phone. Go ahead and text. Do whatever it is you have to do. Because once again, we're bringing it, and we're bringing it hard. I have a dynamic show. I'm going to go ahead and jump right in it because we have Tommy Ford, that's right, he's in the building. So excited to have him join us today. He's quite busy. He's actually on location filming now, so we're not going to prolong the time. I just want to go ahead and give you the heads up. Also, we have Joel Rush. He stars in Tyler Perry, If Loving You Is Wrong. Ah, he's here tonight. He's going to be joining us and telling us about his character, the main, Edward. And also, those who know me, you know I'm a literary enthusiast. I love reading. I have one of my favorite authors on the show tonight. I love her book, Boaz. You guys, if you haven't got that book, you need to get it so you can have life, okay? But that's been years ago. She's written several other books, and I'm so glad that she's joining us tonight. And that is Miss Michelle Stinson. She's in the building also. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Tommy Ford. And this is so funny, you guys. His website is TommyGotAJob.com. When I saw that, I was like, Martin. You know, so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring our first guest on the hour for the hour on. Also your lifeline. The number to call in at is 917-932-1607. Again, that number is 917-932-1607. And press the number 1 for your question and comments, bother me or my guest. And, of course, if you don't want to call in, visit us on the line tonight, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/certainones. Let's get going. Here we go. Mr. Tommy Ford, welcome to the show. It's your first time, and we want to make you welcome tonight. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing good. Tommy got a job. That's what's up.
That's right. I got a job now.
I love that. Okay. Well, I know you're on location filming and all that good stuff, and I know what you're filming, but our audience does not know. Can you just, like, tantalize us, give us a hint on the project that you're working on right now?
Wow, there's so many wonderful things happening. I'm actually working on multiple projects right now, but the one I'm most excited about is I'm actually shooting, producing, and directing an amazing documentary on bullying, specifically bullying and cyberbullying in the African-American community. So it's amazing because we're going to be on Aspire TV, which is Magic Johnson's network, in October, which is National Bullying Month, they've given me 25 young men between the ages of 15 and 25, and I have 90 days to turn their lives around and to really impact them. So it's absolutely amazing. In fact, tonight is it's a really big night for the kids. I went out to D&K Suits and said, listen, I have some great events, and I want to do something for these kids. So D&K Suit City said, come on in, and we went out, and we got shirts and ties and all kinds of stuff. Have another brother who, it's a perfect example of a village taking care of his babies. So tonight the kids are doing a tour at a music studio, and then we go from there to Clark Atlanta. The president of Clark Atlanta is going to be having a reception for the kids tonight. And then the evening will end because this evening the Georgia Legislative Black Caucus is going to be honoring quite a few artists and athletes who've made outstanding contributions, and I will be one of those artists that's going to be honored.
Wow.
And my young people are going to come on stage with me and accept my award along with me. So it's been an amazing journey.
Oh, God, that is so wonderful. I'm your cheerleader tonight, as I know thousands of people are who are listening, tuning in. I am your cheerleader. That is a wonderful thing, and what you're advocating, bullying, oh, my God, it need to be said, need to be advocated for such a time as this. And so I'm not going to prolong your time, but I want to talk also to you about your other projects that you're working on. That is the Heart Show with Irish Boiling. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. That is an amazing project. Irish is a wonderful, wonderful writer, and I was so pleased when she invited me to come and be a part of this amazing project. It's just the second season. I wasn't a part of the first season, unfortunately, but I'm a part of the second season of this great show. So I'm excited to be a part of it, excited to be able to work with so many amazingly talented folks. So it's been a great ride. It really has.
Definitely sound like that. You are up to some good things, wonderful things. Now, Tommy, again, I know we're pressed for time. Where can we reach out to you? Where can we find out more about your project, especially towards bullying? And how do we look for your upcoming show with Iris?
Well, I tell you, if you want to find out more about what I'm doing, you can go to my website, TommyGotAJob.com. If you want to find out about the documentary and all the amazing things, including The Heart, I play the character of A.B. Brooks, who's a prominent civil rights attorney. He's a loving father and husband and a staple in the community. So it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. It's season two of The Heart. And I really want you guys, you can go to theheart.com and look at some of these wonderful episodes, or you can look up the brilliant writer, Irish Boiling, and get some information there. So we're looking forward to not only you watching the show, but emailing us and talking to us about it and telling us how you enjoyed it. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful piece, and I'm delighted to be a part of it.
Yes, it is. I've been following this Irish for quite some time now, and she is a prolific writer, wonderful woman, and I'm so glad you guys met each other and producing quality work like you guys are doing. So I just once again just want to thank you, Tommy. You're awesome. You rock, and you got jobs. Let's pluralize that. So I appreciate your time, and when you're less pressed, I want you to come back. Is that all right?
Yeah, it would be my pleasure.
My delight. Thank you, Tommy. We enjoyed you, and we love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetheart. I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Take care. There you have it, guys. I mean, we have some wonderful, wonderful guests. I told you, who cares and delight about you and what's going on. You know what? I just thank God for this platform, that it connects us with like-minded individuals who inspire and aspire. That's one of my taglines, aspiring to inspire. So I'm so grateful to Tommy Ford for taking time. Literally, he's off now, as you heard, to get an award, to be appreciated like he should be for that topic, which is bullying. Man, that is such a topic that hit close to home, you guys. And I'm going to do a show on that topic, bullying, in the near future. And also to piggyback on Iris Boilings. Again, I haven't followed her for quite some time now. I'm so delighted to announce to you that she will be one of our guests on our upcoming episode here on The Certain One. So I need you to keep it locked here. If you haven't, come on over to blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones and press that follow button so you'll be appraised on our upcoming guests and our events. And, of course, I want you to go over to the Certain Ones magazine every month on the 7th. You guys, you have to go and visit, and don't forget to subscribe there also. And then on YouTube, whatever, just Google us and the Certain Ones, and you will find us. That's how we want to connect with you guys. We want to be available on every channel avenue for you. We adore you. We appreciate you. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to keep it going here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. So don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Certain Ones Online Radio Show with your host, Vanessa Richardson.
The Certain Ones has become a movement in motivation and inspiration. Our mantra is aspiring to inspire. Have you subscribed to The Certain Ones on YouTube? Log on today at www.youtube.com/TheCertainOnes and join in the movement too. Enjoy daily doses of inspiration and motivation. Are you ready? Let's go get it. And now back to the show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, and her special guest.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the show with me and my special guest for the hour. That is Joel Rush, and he stars in Tyler Perry's hit show, If Loving You Is Wrong. And, of course, we have the wonderful author, inspirational author, and education advocate, I love her, Michelle Stimson, just right there in the building. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring Joel on. I had an engaging pre-conversation with Mr. Rush, and we were talking about how fantastic his character is, so much, in fact, that viewers tend to get reality mixed up with fantasy. He is no way, and he's going to make that known tonight, that he is nowhere near the character that he plays on If Loving You Is Wrong. I told him he plays just good. He plays bad. Good. That's all I can say. So without further ado, it is his first time here also on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, and we want to make him welcome. We're delighted to have him join us, even with his busy schedule. He's currently on set, too, you guys. So we just want to make that known also, that we appreciate his time. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring him on the show. Mr. Joel Rush, how are you tonight? Thanks for joining us, by the way.
As I'm driving, there's Atlanta traffic.
Oh, goodness. All right. Be careful. I'm not going to hold your time. See, guys, I tell you, you have some awesome guests who stopped by even in the busy, hectic schedule. So, Joel, let me go ahead and jump right into our genesis, our question. And this is what I want to know, if you haven't made known already. You guys, again, this is the first time on the show. How did you get that phenomenal character, the audition, the process? Tell us about that.
The actual process audition was quite the blessing, to say the least. Tyler had seen me running on I had a DirecTV commercial running for NFL. Yeah, for the NFL Sunday Ticket that apparently he was watching football and saw that. And that's how I actually got called in for the audition. And from then, yeah, I got the call back and we went to a chemistry read. And I had a chemistry read with Zulaya Now, who plays Esperanza. And that went really well. And next thing I knew, 4 hours later, it was a wrap, and I got an offer from Tyler. It was unbelievable. It really changed my life.
Wow. Congratulations. You know what? Opportunity, as Oprah always said, being prepared. You have to be prepared for opportunity. So congratulations on this character. Did a little precursor when I said that your character was so real that our viewers tend to get it mixed up. Let me ask you, was it challenging? This character, you had to do any adjustments as far as the character goes?
Well, I mean, on set with everybody that I work with on set, everybody knows it's a big joke. I mean, so on set it's not challenging. I really just get to play this larger-than-life, excuse my French, I mean, just a big asshole character.
And, yeah.
You know, so, but everybody on set, hair and makeup's laughing, and everybody on the cast and the crew is having a good time. But in public, and when you actually see it, when you actually see some of the scenes on television, I mean, even my mom is shocked. Like, I know last season when I went in and tased Natalie, April Parker Jones is such a dear, dear friend of mine. I love her to death.
Uh-huh.
And we were laughing during the scene, but then when you actually see the scene and the little kid, his name his name's Little DD, that he plays Frank, and that's my little buddy too. But I mean, when you see me throw down a child and tase a woman,
oh man,
I completely understand. I completely understand how viewers just think there is something wrong with this man.
You know what, Veronica, who's played by the beautiful, I love her, Angela Robinson, she was on the show a couple months ago, and she was saying something similar. She was eating, I think, and this viewer came up out of nowhere and tapped her or hit on the shoulder or something that said, okay, be nice to your son. She was like, oh, that's a character. That's not me. I'm not like that, I promise. So I understand what you're saying. It's crazy out there. It is.
And you don't know what's going to go on in society. I mean, so when season one came out, there was a lot of physicality, with me and my ex, Esperanza, at the time. And then the whole Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, it just seemed like every NFL player under the sun was beating their significant other.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out well for timing either.
Not at all. Adding oil to the fire. Oh, my goodness. Let's go ahead and talk about Edward, if you will. Can you just tell us a little bit what's going to happen next season?
Oh, can I tell you what's going to happen the next season? I can't give you the details, but I will tell you this. Tyler sent me a text during the off season, and especially after that scene with Natalie, and he said, I think it's time I give Edward a heart this season. And all I'll say about that is I've yet to see the heart. I think Eddie's still up to the same old trick. So tune in. It is crazier and crazier every season. I know I'm reading these scripts and my mouth hits the floor.
Charlie's doing the thing, and I would like to see the redemption that Edward is going to undergo. Sometimes before redemption, you got to go through a humility stage, you know. So I'm excited to see where that takes us. So let me go ahead. I know you pressed the time, you're in the traffic. Joe, what anything else, any projects we can look forward to, and how can the fans, our listeners, connect with you?
Well, we all live tweet during the show. I'm getting better. I just want to tell every fan who's listening to the show, I'm horrible at social media. I grew up on a farm in Indiana, and I'm plugging along at this turn in L.A. thing. But I'm doing my best. So I've tried to pick up the Instagram thing. I'm still not all that great with the tweeting. But
right, me neither.
I'm getting there. So, no, live tweet during the show. I know that we come back on, I believe it's at the end of March. So my entire cast and I will be live tweeting during the show. And you can keep up with me on Instagram and all the other good stuff that everybody else is on. I do my best.
There you go. You know what, modern technology, if you don't keep up, you're going to be left behind. You know, long days are gone. Days of the past are gone. I mean, social media, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff, it can be overwhelming. So I feel
it becomes,
you.
It becomes like a full-time job. It really
does. It's exhausting. People don't know.
It's crazy. And right now, we've been shooting 12 to 15-hour days every day. I mean, thank God, this is an early day for me. I'm so thankful to be leaving set right now. But after a 12 to 15 hour day, it's sometimes you don't hop on the Instagram and Twitter real quick. You just go home and hold your dog and play Pandora and sit on the couch.
Exactly. I like that kind of day. It's a chill day. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you're in the traffic, and I just want you to be safe out there, especially in L.A., being you're from Indiana, you know. So I want to thank you once again for joining us. And I've got to bring you back to a great conversation tonight. Is that okay?
Listen, I really, really appreciate you having me on. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Joel. Okay. Be careful.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. There you have it, guys. Mr. Joel Rush, I absolutely adore his character. Don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I'm just saying those who know me, they know that I write and I do stage production. That character is challenging, especially if it's not who you are. It's opposite. Pull opposite of who you are. So you really have to dig into that character, to engross yourself into him to make it so believable as Joel does with his character that the fans tend to get reality mixed up, if you will. But he does a wonderful job, you guys. So we're going to take a break. And we're going to end it with one of my favorite things to do, other than Pandora, as Joel said, is read. I love a good book. Good book. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with my last guest of the hour, and that is Miss Michelle Simpson. Okay, you guys, the number to call in at once more is 917-932-1607. Again, 917-932-1607. We're going to find out about her latest book and the one I love, I mentioned earlier. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this message.
Do you feel like you waste time on social media? Are you overwhelmed with all the information about online marketing? Do you want to be able to effectively manage your online presence? Set up a one-on-one consultation with DIYwithTy.com. Taora Moody, known simply as Ty, has over 12 years of experience and a down-to-earth personality that has put over 100 clients at ease. At DIYwithTy.com, we aim to take the mystery out of the geeky stuff in a way that anyone can understand so you can learn how to do it yourself.
Are you a single Christian woman who's wondering where Mr. Right is? If so, I believe I can help you. Hi, my name is Afi Pittman, creator of Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman. I know firsthand how frustrating it is to just want to meet and marry Mr. Right already, and then to do everything you know how to do in dating and romance, and at the end of the day, still be single. But God used some very difficult situations in my life to teach me the art of contentment and how to prepare for marriage. If you're ready to live a full life, free from worry that you'll ever marry Mr. Right, and you want to marry God's way, I want you to join me at authorofmyfaith.com. Start by signing up for the Single and Preparing e-newsletter to get free articles, video devotionals, and company news. I also post new blog devotionals every week, along with articles on dating, healthy eating, and living. And you can also subscribe for those as well. So again, this is Afi Pittman with Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman at authorofmyfaith.com. I so look forward to hearing from you, and I would be honored to serve you on your journey to Mr. Right.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host for the hour, Vanessa Richardson. What an awesome show we had so far. For those who are just tuning in, we had Tommy, got a job for it. Some of you might know him on the show. Martin Lawrence, he is doing the thing. I'm telling you, Tommy got jobs, as I said. Let's pluralize that. And also, we had Mr. Joel Rush from Tyler Perry's hit show, If Loving You Is Wrong. That show is off the chain for real. And he hinted that Edward might get a heart. We'll see what's going on. I don't know. We'll see. Keeping locked down for the show. So now it's coming down to one of my favorite things, as I aforementioned. I love reading. I'm such a literary enthusiast, you guys. So we have finally, it's my first time, I think, interviewing Michelle. So I'm going to tell you this. We had a latest book club a couple years ago, and I found Finding Boaz Brown. This was written by Michelle Simpson, and I referred it to a couple of the ladies in our group, and unfortunately something happened, so we weren't able to assemble and discuss it. But those who read it, we did so one-on-one. About two or three ladies came. They were like, oh, that was an eye-opener, especially now since like it's ladies, African-American women are really getting it, you know. I don't want to give away too much, but if you have not gotten that book, read it so you understand. And for those who read it, you do understand. Love is love. So without further ado, go ahead and bring Miss Michelle Simpson on. If you want to reach out to Michelle, because we're getting engrossed in conversation, so before we do this, and I can talk a lot, I want to go ahead and give you her website, which is simply michellesimpson.com. That's it. Made it easy for you. And that's michellesimpson.com. You can find out about her book, Step Down, Someone to Watch Over Me. I met him in the lady, I met him in the ladies' room, throw in my way, Mama B, a time to speak, and of course, the one I aforementioned, Boaz Brown, that's right, and Stuck on You. I'm getting thirsty for these books. I need these books. What? Michelle, you've been writing up something? Just go ahead and bring it on. We got something to dialogue about. Michelle, it's your first time to the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. You're just naming off all kind of stuff over there.
Yeah, it's good. Real good. I wasn't aware that you've written all those. Michelle.
Yes, my friends are calling me the writing rabbit. I've got about almost 40 books out at this point. So.
Wow. I know we're going to talk
bless
about your
God.
Latest book, but let's go ahead and talk about Finding Boaz. I've never gotten to talk to you in my Oprah Winfrey voice about Finding Boaz.
Oh my goodness.
Talk about that one first. How did that come about? For real. I'm serious. That was like, for real, a first eye opener for me. That's the first time I read with the character being different, if you will. If you want to go ahead and spill the tea on that, if you will. I want to give away too much for those who have not read it. But it's the first time that, yeah, I read that, and it really shocked me for a while. And I continued to read.
Right.
I acclimated to it. I was like, yeah, that's what's up. God have a way of
right.
making us laugh and giving us what we need and not what we want. Okay?
Right.
So let's go
He's
ahead
good.
And talk about all the time. Let's talk about that first, if you will. Finding Boaz Brown.
Certainly. And it's just Boaz Brown, and there's actually another book out on it at this point. But that was my very,
really?
Very first novel. Yes, the follow-up to that book is a book called No Weapon Formed, and it's LaShondra and Selson 10 years later.
What?
So, yes, they got kids and all kinds of drama. So, Boaz Brown, I started it, and for those of you who don't know, it is an interracial romance, but there's more to it than that. Really, it's my first novel, and it is Christian fiction. And so she's asked, this woman, LaShondra, has asked for a Boaz, and she's asked God for everything on her list. But, you know, what if the Lord sends that present in a package that doesn't look like what you thought it was supposed to look like? So whether it be a person who's of a different race, or maybe he's missing a front tooth, or maybe he's a little too short for your taste. I mean, are we going to reject people based on what they look like? And so that has been it was eye-opening for me to write the book because I've never been in an interracial relationship. So
right.
It was tough for me to even write, but it was so therapeutic, and it just helped me, just as a mom raising my two African American children in today's society, to be able to say, listen, God has a plan for you, and I don't want you to come into this idea that a person, no matter who they are, can stop the plan of God for your life. So many believers think that the promises of God stop because you're black, and that's just not how it works. If I wouldn't serve a God who couldn't protect me in a society.
Hey, amen. You know, Michelle, you're a great segue, because this is Black History Month, and I've been, like, really studying. And even in the Certain Ones magazine, we have an article titled Raising African-American Sons in America. I know this is just thrown at you, which I know you have experience. That's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Our young men are being killed, slaughtered. How do you feel as a mother? Does it make you want to just... How old are your boys, by the way, if you want to share that? Do you make you just want to hold them?
I have a son. Yeah,
so,
I have a son who's 22. Well, here's the thing that I've had to fight, and it has been the good fight of faith, which is to keep believing in the face of all the things that are happening around you. That's the good fight of faith Paul was talking about. And my son was 17 when Trayvon Martin was killed. And so that's the same age Trayvon Martin was, you know. And so... my son has a habit, and all the kids in my neighborhood walk around with hoodies on. It could be 100 degrees outside. They will have on a hoodie.
Yes.
And shortly after Trayvon Martin was killed, my son wanted to walk around the corner to his friend's house, and he had the hoodie on. And I almost said to him, no, baby, I'm going to take you because there's so much going on around. But I cannot live in fear, and I'm not going to teach him. I want him to be aware of what's going on, but there's a difference between being aware and walking around scared and that kind of thing. So and the funny thing is, while I'm trying to keep him from all harm and danger, he done signed up for the Army. So, yes.
I told you.
Right.
That's crazy.
I whatever, but he's such a, he is a great son. And one of the things he taught me as now that he's been in the service is when it comes to, you know, even our spiritual fight, you know, we don't sign up, you don't sign up for the army to try to not fight. Cause I'm like, right. Can you just sign up to be a cook? So you don't have to do nothing. And yes. He's like, Mama, you don't sign up for the army to not go. I mean, you haven't been through all this training and all this. He was like, when you sign up for the army, you sign up to do a job, whatever that job entails. And so as parents, as a believer, like, we didn't sign up to be Christians to not fight. And so that has been helpful to me, what he's done, because I think a lot of us just want to be, I want to be nice and Christian and quiet. But there's a fight going on, and we need to be in it.
It is. It is. It's a spiritual fight. And you know what? You said something poignant right there. When you become a Christian, you don't sign up not to fight. That is so powerful.
Right. You signed up.
Put that way.
You have an enemy in the land. Even if you don't know somebody fighting you now, you might not be fighting back. But there, when you signed up to be a believer, you became an enemy to the world. And so, you in a fight. You might not be winning because you're not fighting, but you signed up for an enemy.
You're in it. That's right.
Yeah, you might as well fight because you already...
You better, or you're going to get walked all over, lost in the midst of it.
Right. I want believers to just stand up and stand on the word. And God is so faithful to his word.
Oh, God,
I think so many of us are afraid to actually exact that word, you know.
I love it. You know, Michelle, I'm getting ready to talk about your Are You Ready to Grow in Christ? Let's talk about that for a bit. I'm going to go to your books, too. But are you speaking? I couldn't happen to, you know how you meet people and it felt like you met them, you just connect in the spirit, if you will. It's like, I understand where you're coming from. Are you ready to grow in Christ? And that is such a poignant question now for such a time as that.
Right.
Let's go ahead and talk about that, if you will. Are you ready to grow in Christ?
Certainly. Certainly. One of the things that I have enjoyed doing for many years is teaching teachers. I'm an educator, you know, by trade. But the Lord has just begun to use those skills to teach believers. And I've done things online before, but there is something interesting and extra special about being face-to-face with women who want to learn how to pray, who want to learn. I mean, they're watching movies, they've gone to see War Room, and but they don't really know how to come back home and put and implement that into their lives. And even I have some classes coming up for wives, and the Bible tells us that the older wives are supposed to be teaching the younger wives how to be wise. Mm-hmm. And if it has to be taught, obviously it doesn't come natural. And I know we teach a lot of things at our churches. We teach, you know, how to run a business and how to start your hair shop and all of that. But the Bible has told us what we need to be teaching. And those things aren't being taught. And a lot of us didn't grow up with mothers who knew the word. Or even if they did, even if you grew up in church, that doesn't necessarily mean you actually know what happened at the cross. So all those different things are the things that I hope that the Lord has just put on my heart to share with the body of Christ. And so it's been a bit of a walk of faith to kind of step out and do it because I don't have a whole bunch of people behind me and all of that. But, you know, God is just good and faithful. And I'm going to do what he told me to do. And that's just going to be how it is.
Woo! I love it. And I could talk to you like 2 hours, 3 hours tonight for real, but time doesn't permit it. About you not having like people behind you, and yet you're still doing it because God is faithful.
Right.
I know it get hard, Michelle. How do you keep the faith? I know God is there and all that. And sometimes we waver, and that's not a bad thing. We're human.
Exactly.
We feel the fire.
Yeah.
So how do you continue to encourage yourself?
Well, it's something that I have to do every time I hold an event or anything like that. I do have to come back and go, okay, Lord, you told me to do this, and I'm going to do what you said to do. I don't care if 50 people come. I don't care if 5 people come. I'm going to do it the same way as if I was in a full house or in my living room. And he's faithful to honor that. A lot of us are like, well, I'm going to start a ministry, and I want to go all over the world and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? We have a ministry right at the house. And ministry right in our communities and right at our churches. And, it's one thing for 10,000 people to go to a conference once time a year, but people need ministering to all the time. And so I think the Lord is calling that grassroots effort to not call, if you're going to have a ministry, serve people. Don't just start your bookstore service, basically, where you want to sell your products and call that a ministry. Yes. If you're going to have a bookstore, call it a bookstore. But if you're going to have a ministry, that's giving. So yes. I think that the believers, we have really lost our idea of what a ministry is, and that it is based on giving and not an exchange. An exchange
yes.
is a store, you know.
Yes.
A ministry
yes.
is about giving.
Yes, I love it. I love this conversation, great conversation we're having. For those who just tuned in, we are on the air live with Michelle Stinson. She's an inspirational author. Now, we were talking about what you were just saying about the, being intimate in ministry. Go ahead and find out.
Yeah.
Tell us where to find out more about that.
Certainly. My website that you've mentioned earlier has, you know, I post all my stuff there, and people can sign up to be on my email list. I'm just doing them right now in Dallas-Fort Worth, but if you are looking at any of the workshops that I've got going and you decide, hey,
yes.
I want to do something like that at my church, just email
yes.
me. I'll send you what I got. It
yes.
all came from the Lord anyway. Freely I have received and freely I will give. So
yes.
just email
Ooh.
Me. Let me know what it is that you need for your group, because I just know the Lord is calling us to do what he's called us to do. And no more excuses.
Yes.
No more, well, I don't have
None.
The theology degree. No more, well, we already got five people on the such and such a team. You can go out to the streets. If the Bible says if the people that you want to come don't come, go out to the highways and byways and
tell,
find some
right.
people who need the love of Jesus. And you will. You
that's
don't have
word.
To look far at all.
That's the word right there. Well, do you make trips yourself? Do we invite you to come? Do you host them?
Yeah, well, I'll go. I mean, if people can get, you know, a place together, and I do
uh-huh.
ask for my travel, but as far as an honorarium,
yeah.
I leave that up to the Lord and the people who are hosting it. That's
yeah.
just how he has taught me to do it. He's been so faithful to bless me in my writing career. He's been so faithful to just be, he honestly, what he has done for me to as I'm starting with this ministry is he has, I'm just going to be honest, he done took care of all the bills. And
yes.
right now, I'm not doing this to pay my mortgage. I'm doing this because I'm in a position at this point to just
yes.
be
oh.
a giver. And I've gone
yeah.
places and people have paid more than I would have asked for, and I've gone places and people didn't have anything. But
right.
you know what? At the end of the day, and it was funny because the first time that happened, I was like, well, when I said I didn't want an honorarium, I wasn't really meaning that. And then when it happened, the Lord was like,
yeah.
I need you to mean that. I need you to
mm-hmm.
say that and mean that. And I don't want
yes.
you to walk out of here with your face twisted to the side. It's that's not
yes.
even what it's all about. And he
right.
has just been so faithful that he
mm-hmm.
honestly honors, rewards us more than anybody else could. So that is my platform, that I'm out there, I'm sharing the word, and that's just how it's going down.
You hear it, ladies and gentlemen. You hear Michelle Stinson. Go ahead and visit that site, invite her, and if you will, give an honorarium if you can. She is so worthy of it. Her humility is just inspiring. I am so glad to have been able now, and that book's been out for years. God has a way of
mm-hmm,
connecting us
mm-hmm.
at the right time. So you guys, get her books. Go to her website, lose it, and order these books. And God is good, Michelle, because we can download
He is.
Just like that now.
Just like that now.
Do.
Hey.
Just
hey.
Like that. Want to do it?
he has done it. He has. And you know what?
Yes.
And now that you said that, I have to tell you, those who are listening who know they're supposed to be writing a book.
Go ahead.
This is
Talk
not
about
the
it.
Time for you to not do that. This, I mean, there's no gatekeeper Woo. Anymore. And for some people, that's like the bad news because they're like, well, everybody named Mama can write a book now. Well, maybe everybody that God has told to write a book needs to go ahead and do it. I mean, that's not even
yeah.
a maybe. There's it's not even that you have to have, you know, a big, huge, major company behind you. You just
right.
need to do what the Lord has called you to do, period.
That's right.
I don't care what
that's
it
right.
is.
That's right. Because God has made available now in this time and season
mm-hmm.
so much
mm-hmm.
that can cut costs and all that. So all the excuses
exactly.
are, as you said, they're gone. They're gone away, you guys.
They're
so Michelle,
gone. We don't have them anymore.
We don't. No more questions. No more hiding. Only you is stopping you. So, Michelle, let's
right.
go ahead and talk about the show, your new release. Let's talk about that. It's available now.
All right, which one are we talking about? I'm like, okay, are we talking about sex things? You know, I'm like two books ahead of you in my brain. Like, I put a book out, and I'm already, like, on the second book already.
I
think we're talking about Stuck on You, right?
We are. We're talking about Stuck on You. Yeah, that one.
Okay. Bless the Lord. It's so funny because, you know, a book comes out I think the book came out in January, but I wrote it like in October, and I've written like two books since then.
Oh,
so I do have to kind of keep up with myself. But Step
I
on
got
You is the first book in the Stoneworth series, and the Stoneworths is a family of strong, godly patriarchs. And I know we have a history of matriarchs in our families with, you know, even my book, Mama B. Everybody loves Mama B because she's kind of Madea, only she's kind of the church mother Madea. And so I think we have a long, strong history of godly women, but we a lot of us don't know what a godly man does or what he looks like or what he brings to a heritage, what he brings to a family line. And so I wanted to explore what does a godly man even look like? And so that is one of the reasons that I wanted to write this series. So we're starting off with the first character who fell in love with a girl when he was in college, but then they kind of fell apart. And now he's got to try to go back and well, he doesn't know if he wants to get with her because he doesn't know if she wants to be with him still. But it's a romance. It is a true romance. But I really, you know, anything I write, I always have a message in it. So I hope that the readers will enjoy the romance, but also understand what it means to fall in love with a person who's already in love with your Lord.
Wow, I love that. You guys, Michelle writes excellent books, and I'm not just listening to Dixie. She writes good books. I'm going to get this book, Michelle, stuck on you.
Thank
you. Is it going to be like a series or?
Yes. It is going to be a series. I'm already about two-thirds of the way through the second book. And I've got the outline ready, so it's just a matter of getting it done at this point. But I envision several books in this series. I just, first of all, I like to write romance, but I do have to watch myself when I write it because it's so funny. When I write a romance, like, the guy is everything I want. Like, and I'll be looking at my husband like, why can't you be more like so-and-so? My husband's like, because you made him. Of course he's going to do everything you want to do. You wrote it. So it's funny how I do. I honestly do have to watch my spirit when I'm writing a romance so that I don't fall in love with the character.
Got you. Well, you know what? Again, I'm putting it on my to-be-read pile. I'm getting it this weekend. Seriously, I'm ordering it. So,
Thank you.
That's one of your challenges you said about got to be careful of that. But other than that, for those who are listening who are aspiring authors, writers, what are some of the challenges that you face, even after writing 40 books, that you had to overcome?
One of the things that I've had to stop doing is reading all of the comments.
Yeah.
Because and a lot of them are good comments, don't get me wrong. But when you read the comments and they're all good, you kind of get puffed up. And when you read them and they're all bad, you kind of want to go eat some donuts. So to get to the point where if I look at a review and something bad is said, and if it's constructive and they go, well, on page 67, she took her shoes off two times. And I go, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I need to change that. You know, every now and then I'll come across something, but I honestly don't necessarily have a lot of time to read the comments. People who really want to say something to me usually email, get me through Facebook, and I'll just send them a little something back real quickly, but I don't necessarily, I cannot hang my head or my hat on what it is that the comments say, because some of them, you look at them and they're just like, okay, this is somebody who's been wanting to write a book since they were 10. And they're just saying something negative because they see other, you know, sometimes when you're successful, it reminds other people of their unsuccess at times.
Right.
And so, and I love people and I want them to do what it is the Lord would have them to do. But sometimes the enemy uses people. So I try not to even give him any free advertising in my life.
That is so true. You have to have a strong skin when it comes to sharing your works with the world because not everyone is going to like it. Not everybody's going to understand it. And there's a difference between harshness and criticism, you know, constructive criticism.
Exactly.
So I appreciate
exactly.
you mentioning that. I really do. And the time has come up on us to conclude this in Exodus, Michelle. One more time. It's going by so fast. I'm enjoying myself, too. I've got
to
bring you back. So in Exodus, I want you to do two things I want. And that is simply to remind us where to connect with you. And number one, for those who are aspiring, want to write a book, as you mentioned, two things you had to overcome. Be careful of the character. You put too much in as far as left thing going. And, of course, the criticism. Is there anything else you can offer for those who aspire to be an author or writer?
Definitely. I've been mentoring some new authors, and one of the things that I really didn't get, because my books came out, my first book came out in 2004, so that was 12 years ago at this point, and the landscape is very different, and so I've had to kind of talk with them about the use of social media. I've also had to kind of talk them through those moments where you kind of feel like, is all of this even worth it, you know, because at the end of the day, one book is probably not going to be the thing that, you know, you get to stay home and write with. It's going to take some time. It's going to take building up that audience. And the market is so flooded right now with stuff that's not even necessarily Christian fiction, which is what I write, the genre that I write in, that you do have to find ways. And the Lord is faithful to show you ways to stand out. So just keep at it. I don't know that you can live a life fulfilled if you continue. Well, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So you don't want to hurt your own self by not doing what the Lord would have you to do. So do it is my big word. You don't even have to like it. Just do it. You can fix it later after you do the first draft.
Yes. Now, that was powerful information right there, you guys. That was powerful. one more time, how can we reach out to you with your, maybe we need information. Like you said, you're offering for free. Thank you for that. Or maybe we want to invite
you're
you to
welcome.
Come and be a speaker.
I would love to come. It would be my pleasure. People can reach me at michellestimpson.com, michellestimpson.com, and that is my website. You can reach me email there. I'm on Facebook, the Michelle Stimpson page. I'm also Michelle Stimpson on Facebook as well. I think I might be over my limit of people on my personal page, though. But there are three Michelle Stimpsons. You look for the African-American one. That's going to be me.
That's right. I saw that too, Michelle.
And I have been in touch with the other Michelles. They're really, really neat ladies. So all Michelle Simpsons are cool, I think.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you know, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. What an awesome conversation. I really did enjoy it. I did. Thank
Same
you.
Here. Same here. It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Got to have you back. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it, you guys. The conclusion of the Certain Ones show for Thursday. This has just been a phenomenal beginning of February. It is Black History Month, as you know. And I just want to hail Maya Angelou, Dr. Maya Angelou. I just absolutely adored her. And when she transitioned, my goodness, I don't know. It's like a hole in my heart when I heard of her passing. And I just love her. She the one helped me overcome some of my shyness. I was very shy as a kid, painfully so, if I can be honest with you. And I remember watching this little girl perform on Apollo, Still I Rise. I was like, this little girl, probably was 10, I was probably 13 at the time, perhaps. And I saw her recite that poem. And I immediately went to my library, because we didn't have social media then like we have now. You know, instantaneous, you can Google people and find out about them. You know, I had to go to my local library and find out who wrote this poem. It was the incomparable, awesome Maya Angelou, who had a powerful testimony, who endured so much, you guys. And as you know, many of us know the story. She was raped as a child, and it shut her voice up for a while. And she found it. She found her voice. And she began to write these poems. She did not let the situation shut her down. It was a teacher who really helped her, pulled her out of the pit. She found a voice again, although you know the story. And she went on to just write more books. I mean, she recited poems for presidents, Still I Rise, Phenomenal Woman. Y'all know her. I mean, she's just a phenomenal woman, and I still go back. Sometimes it gets tough. Some people say, but that's how you motivate yourself. I find some of the sweetest things that some people may find morbid or depression even. I don't. I go back to the ancestors. I go back and read what they've done. Like, I just recently studied the civil rights and wrote a 14 page paper on it, you know. And they immediately inspired me with all these technologies, modern technologies, such as Facebook and all that. You have the capabilities to become a self-made millionaire, billionaire. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. It's going to take commitment. And like Michelle stated, that sometimes you're not even going to have the backup. You're your own CEO. You're your own secretary. You're your own viral assistant. You all these things. But don't let that get you down. Because all you need is one yes from God, and that one yes to turn everything around. When you start out like a one-company person. Like for me, I started out doing poetry, one person, me, by myself. To date, I haven't ever cut a line as far as people who joined me for my stage production have over like 7 cast members. I try to keep it to 8 because any more than that can become overwhelming. Because when I say I'm hands-on with these productions, I'm hands-on with these productions, 100. So what God has called you to do is you've chosen to be an author, and don't just look around and say, I like what he or she's doing, so I'm going to do it. You have to be able to master something. You're doing many things without mastering none. You have to question that. And if you're putting works out there and you're not compelling anyone to you, you really have to really reassess yourself. That's why I do meditation. And meditation is hard for people to do that because you don't want to deal with self. Dealing with self is one of the most painful things there is. It's difficult. It's ugly. We can so easily look around and see our neighbors, see what's going on in their lives, and point out the faults in their lives. But that's not what that's about. You have to find a way to be a servant because, as Michelle stated, when you sign up to be a Christian, you're in the battle. You're on the battlefield for the Lord. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear everything is good, easy, breezy, peasy. But that's not always the case because you have a public enemy. You become public enemy number one. You're good. It may seem like just someone said this. When you throw a pedal in the water, you start waves, and the waves stop. It's a ripple effect. It stops. You got to keep on going. Keep the ripple going. Keep it going. Okay? God give us time to rest. God give us time to revamp and recoup ourselves and stop looking for approval of other people. Jesus didn't even get the approval of everybody. And we know, without a doubt, that he was the only perfect person on this world, on this earth. And he was not even receiving his home. His family didn't even receive him. His family didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And they grew up with him. They didn't see who he was. And they walked and they talked with him. And I'm talking to somebody out there. Maybe you are experiencing that in your family, your mother, your brother, your sister, and cousin. They don't see your light. Keep it moving. Keep the vision alive. And though it tarry, write it, work it, and after a while, it's going to come to pass. Don't become discouraged. Like I said, you will feel the heat of the situation because God has endowed us with emotions. It's how you use these emotions. If we have not endured or gone through these things, we couldn't empathize. There's a difference between empathy and sympathy. You couldn't empathize with another person who don't have that support from their family members. You couldn't empathize with that person who's trying to start a business and it seems like no one is helping. Isn't it quite fascinating that people tend to help when you've already succeeded and not when you're trying to succeed? I've been there too. But don't look at those things. The key to being a servant is to find a method not to hurt yourself in your servitude. Love serving. And if you love serving, it'll never be a chore. And the thing about being a good servant is this. People will try to use your services, use you more, call on you more. But it's up to you not to allow yourself to become used nor abused. You have a cutoff period. You can cut it off. It's up to you. Sometimes saying no can feel wrong, and it really can. But it's the right thing to do. Because at the end of the day, we are ultimately responsible for our happiness and our joy. Stop putting it in the hands of man. You know what you like and how you like, where you like, and when you like it. Do it. So when you're serving, love your servant and know when to cut things off, okay? Know when to say this is too much. Know when to say I see through your ploy. I see that you're not with me. I see you ain't rolling with me. You're rolling with me because he's with me. You know, see through the Paul Lawrence Dunbar said we wear the mask and it grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and it sheds our eyes. You know, people wear the mask. So become cover girls and cover men. I don't like being fake. I try to be who I am. And the reality is that sometimes we have our ups and never our downs. Reality is you get tired. Reality is you get sad. Reality is you're going to be happy one day. You have your days. And when the good days are good, roll with them and accept. But think about the good days. Now, when you go through so much hardship, it's almost scary to accept the good. It's almost scary to believe that you can be happy and you can be. Because we go through so much, so now you're just conditioned for hardship. And I like this analogy. If a grasshopper can leap 6 inches and you put him in a glass that allows him just to reach 3 inches, he becomes conditioned to leap 3 inches. You may be a grasshopper, metaphorically speaking, who was born to leap 6 inches. Don't allow situations and people's verbiage to let you be stuck in a 3-inch mentality. God didn't design you for that. And sometimes you will walk alone, and sometimes that's the best thing to do. Hear me. Sometimes that's the best thing to do is to walk alone. Because as you're walking along on the journey, you should be learning things by now, especially yourself. Learn who you are. And as you learn who you are, you can learn to say, listen, that's not who I am. So when people come to you and say, do this and do that, hold it straight. The majority is not always right. If you look at media, majority are doing some things that are just so dastardly, just so crazy, should not be. Does not make it right. If you put truth in the room, you see that it's just a minority and not a majority. Come on, somebody. Truth is always a minority. Jesus was a minority. He was a walking, living truth. And if your light is bright, continue to let it shine. And if your light is bright, it's going to shed light on many people's situation. That means you're a testimony for somebody. You are a light that someone needed such a time as this. And don't give up. Don't feel despair. And God knows it hurts. And God knows, like I said, we deal with these emotions and these feelings. Find a way to make yourself happy. Increase your frequency of joy. Always meditate and believe. Seek God's counsel first. Man, always understand, man is not perfect. Every doctor got a doctor. Every lawyer got a lawyer. Every teacher got a teacher. Everybody needs someone. Trust me. Nobody is perfect. No one. And even, as I aforementioned, Jesus was perfect, and they did not believe in his truth. They lied on him, talked about him, wanted to stone, wanted to kill. Because when you're right, your light becomes too bright, and it reminds people, as Michelle said, themselves what they're not doing. And what you're doing become a hindrance and just makes them upset. You are showing them a reflection of who they are. But keep it moving. Stay encouraged. Write the book. Become the doctor. Become the lawyer. Become that teacher. Do what you have to do. And we celebrate Maya Angelou. As I mentioned, we did talk about raising African-American sons in America. The struggle is real. It's real. I encourage you, and it won't behoove you, to go over there and read that article at www.thecertainonemagazine.com. And again, our spotlight for African-American Black History celebrating is Maya Angelou. We absolutely love her. You know, she was born on April 4th. In 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri. She's a writer, and she was a civil rights activist, and she's best known for her poem, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And it made literary history as the first nonfiction bestseller by an African-American woman. So in 1971, Dr. Angelou published a Pulitzer Prize-nominated poetry collection, Just Give My Cool Drink of Water Before I Die. Just give me a cool drink of water before I die. I love that. And she later wrote the poem On the Pulse of Morning, one of her most famous works, which she recited at Bill Clinton's inauguration. That was in 1993. And she went on to receive several honors throughout her career, including two NAACP Image Awards in the Outstanding Literary Nonfiction category. And in 2005 and 2009, she received those literary awards. It was sadly her transition, or did she die, was on May 28, 24. And as I mentioned, the poem that rolls me up and continue to do so out of my funk, because I get in it sometimes, in my just rejected moments, in my sad moments, I pamper myself with my ancestors. I feel their hunger and the tenacity to be free, to have the civil rights, to die for their freedom. They stood up. And I want to talk to you today, for those out there listening, stand up. Get past the negativity, get past the lack of support, maybe no support. God is your cheerleader, and so am I. I'm cheering you on. Never think that you're not alone. So today we salute Dr. Maya Angelou, and I just want to share with you one of my favorite poems, Still I Rise. So you know how we do here on the Second One Block Talk Radio Show. If no one told you that they love you today, tomorrow, last year, last week even, guess what? My friends, you'll hear it here on the Second One Block Talk Radio Show. We love you with the love of the Father. And to them, let's go get it.
Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, I rise.
The Certain One Talk Show, aspiring to inspire. To find out more about the talk show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, you may log on to www.certainone.com. blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show with Vanessa Richardson, inspiring author and playwriter.